Fred Rogan and Rodney Peake, the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour, 866-987-2570. We had this problem yesterday. We're asking you not to have it today. If you want to win that $100 gift card, you've got to get in early. Get in early and offer up your 30-second take. BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers. Wherever you are and whatever you do, there is a BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse near you. All right. So let's get to the Dodgers. And last night, once again, the bats were alive, but last night in a big way. Granted, they faced a guy that had been struggling in San Diego, the no hope Padres.
You called it, Fred. You're saving your reputation because last night they did have no hope.
No, they had no hope last night. You know, it's a laborious process to rebuild, and they're trying to do so, but that's not the Dodgers' concern. The Dodgers need to get healthy, and they got a little better last night. Yasmani Grandal hit a Grand Slam home run. Hyunjin Ryu had a pretty good outing. The Dodgers have now won a couple in a row. So you wonder, have they turned the corner, Rodney?
You know, they definitely woke up last night. What was good to see, also Matt Kemp hit a home run. You know, two former Padres going after their old team. Maybe that's something to, you know, there's something to be said about that, because I know playing your former team, you kind of want to go out and do well. But hopefully this is a sign of good things to start coming, because the bats came alive a little bit. Chris Taylor is starting to be a little bit more consistent. So I'm liking what I'm seeing, and hopefully they can continue that through this series with the Padres.
All right, now here's the question today, though, and concerning the Dodgers, and it involves Yasiel Puig. Now, you can make the argument that he is or has been one of the most polarizing athletes in the history of Los Angeles sports. For my money, Kobe Bryant was that guy. The most polarizing.
Yeah.
You loved him or you hated him, and there was no in between. I think a lot of that can be translated to Yasiel Puig. You want to love him. He's built like an action hero. He's built like a superhero. Early on, you fell in love with him because of his all-out, wild horse, crazy style of
right.
play.
But here's the thing, Fred. I get he's polar, but I get it with Kobe, because Kobe was, you know, some people thought he was too intellectual and he was above everybody. He's elitist and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he rubbed some people the wrong way. He was a loner. He didn't get along with his teammates. And so that was very documented. But as far as Yasiel Puig, you know, I don't understand why he became so polarizing.
Well, I can answer that. Yo, absolutely. No, I get it.
Explain it to me.
Here's what it is. Early on, you fell in love with him because of him. You fell in love with him because he was big and happy and fun and crazy and would do anything. And it was kind of like the way anybody would want to be if they played the game. I'm out here having a good time. You know what? Right. Sure, I'll try to catch the ball with my bare hand. Granted, I should throw it to the cutoff man. I'll throw it 43 rows into the crowd. You know, I know I should stop here, but I'm going to keep running. I'm just having a good time. And people absolutely fell in love with him. But in having that great time early on and not remembering what his life was like prior to coming to the Dodgers, that he had to escape from a country, there was a contract out on his life. People then became frustrated. Okay, you have all this ability. You have all this talent. You get it, except you're not playing properly. Instead of throwing the ball 43 rows into the crowd, throw it to the cutoff man. Instead of trying to catch the ball barehanded, please use your glove.
Yeah.
Instead of stopping at second base when you should, do not attempt to go to third, because all bets are off at this point and you're having a good time. And I think that's why, Rodney, so many people felt good or bad. You wanted to love the guy because he is that fun guy, but it didn't equate on the field at times. Now, after they sent him down last year, I think he came back a changed guy. He is all about trying to do things in a conventional way, which you need to do if you play baseball. You cannot play by your own set of rules. He has conformed. So I think that for that period of time where he was as polarizing as he was, and remember this, I had been to Dodger Stadium. I told the story. Even when he was going through the ups and then some of the downs, he was so beloved by so many. even in games he didn't play, people walked around with his jersey. He didn't even play and screamed Puig. He wasn't even in the lineup. So that's how loved he was by those who loved him. I think the purists looked at it and said, you know, he's a fun guy, but he's not helping. He's actually hurting us at times. That's why I think he was polarizing. I don't think he is as polarizing any longer. I think he has really settled in and become a very good major league player. And to be fair, I was the one that said early on, man, you got to move on from this guy. You got to move on from him because he's hurting you more than he's helping you. I revised that last year. You know, if you make a mistake, you admit it. I admitted that mistake last year. I'm in his camp. I like him.
And he's a likable guy.
He's a lovable guy.
But to your point, yes, the things he did on the field became very frustrating because, like you said, he would throw it 43 rows up in the stands. You know, there was the collisions in the outfield, and it's like, okay, at some point you got to evolve and be a baseball player and play the game the right way. And he was just a loose cannon out there running around. Tremendous talent, tremendous athletic ability, but he needed to hone it in. And he wasn't able to do that, which rubbed a lot of the, like you say, the purists the wrong way.
Yeah, he'd show up late. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Just show up late. Okay, that's in the past. Now he's in, and he's good. He's signed with a new agent. He's got a brand new agent now, and that signals something. That signals, okay, now I'm getting serious about my future. I'm here. Next year, he is arbitration eligible. The following year, he becomes a free agent. The Dodgers will have a decision to make. I believe he makes about $7 million a year now. Good. Mm-hmm. Great. And you know, for a guy that is doing what he's doing, that's probably a little underpaid.
Yeah.
Maybe a little underpaid.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's crazy
for
money.
His talent and what other guys around the league are making. Yeah, he's underpaid.
Okay.
He's underpaid. And given, you know, for him, though, too, you got to think about where he came from. So he's sitting pretty good.
Yeah, but and understand that, you know, I sit here and say he's underpaid with the philosophy that everybody should be paid more. And if you're listening right now, you're probably not making $7 million a year. And you think everybody is overpaid. And I get that as well. But really where he's at in baseball, he's probably, if you look at the salary structure, a little bit underpaid.
Yeah.
He's gone out and he's gotten himself a new agent. And that means it's getting serious now. What are we going to do down the road? He's arbitration eligible after this season. Following season, he becomes a free agent. Now, if you're the Dodgers, this has been your guy from the very beginning. You remember that he was on all the billboards for a period of time.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'll guarantee you they sold more of his merchandise in the team store than any team, any player on the Dodgers when he was routinely in the lineup early on. People just fell in love with him. So if you're the Dodgers, now what do you do? What do you do going forward? You know he's going to make more than $7 million a year. That we do know, no matter what. In arbitration, he's going to make more than that.
Lock him up is what you do first.
Do you lock him up?
Yeah. You lock him up now, sooner rather than later. You know, we saw the Angels do it with Mike Trout. Now you don't have to go that deep and go that hard, but you lock him up before it gets into a bidding war and you risk, you know, overpaying, because we're seeing it now with guys like, you know, Bryce Harper's coming up and is going to be the highest paid baseball player ever. But you try to lock him up now so you don't have to overpay, give him something that's reasonable. And if you're Puig, I think you really seriously entertain that and put your eggs in being a Dodger, because you had a great year last year. There's no guarantee with Turner Ward, him working with him. He's obviously turned a corner and become more professional. But on both sides, I think it'd be advantageous for both sides to lock something up sooner rather than later.
All right, you're saying let's get it done.
Yes.
Let's not risk it.
Yes.
If you're the Dodgers, do you sit back and go, okay, maybe we've gotten everything we can from him. Maybe we have. Maybe that's the ceiling, and it's a good ceiling to have. He's still a young guy, but maybe that's it. So do we want to invest more, much more, on a guy that maybe is at the ceiling? And I think that's the dilemma. And that's the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question today, because he's got a new agent. So that means now we're going to start talking. We're going to figure this out. 866-987-2570. Dodger fans, so here are your options. Are you going to sit down with him and say, look, let's get something hammered out here. You're not going to make Mike Trout money, but you're going to get paid. And you have to consider everything, what he means to the franchise, what he means to the fan base, his production on the field. You've got to figure all of that if you're Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi. You got to figure all that out. But once you do, do you lock him up or do you say, all right, we'll go to arbitration and then we'll let you become a free agent? And good luck to you. I think this will be an interesting test of the Dodgers' philosophy here. Because in theory, Rodney, the way they're building the franchise, he will go. They won't lock him up. Because we got everything we can out of you, and you're a great guy, and we want you to get paid. But our farm system has now produced certain players that we believe can come up and do what you do. So, I mean, this is really going to be an interesting test.
Yeah, and I believe if they don't lock him up, it's the I feel like it's the writing on the wall. Because if they don't lock him up and they wait, then I don't see them paying, whether it be next year or the following year, more to keep him around. I don't see that happen because the price tag is going to go way up. They can get him, I don't want to say for cheap, but they can get him in a deal.
Little hometown discount?
Little hometown discount right now. And is it something? But you're right. As they look at it, has he reached that ceiling? Has he gotten to the point where they're not going to get much more out of him? I still think he's got a lot more left in the tank and more to grow. Just seeing him last year and what he was able to do after being sent down and then coming back and being able to be, you know, a player that hit down in the lineup and the production that he gave us hitting down in the lineup, I think that the sky's still the limit for this guy and still got much room for improvement. So to me, and then not to mention, which nobody talks about, is the arm in right field and all the things he does, the intangibles for that alone, I'm locking him up.
866-987-2570. All right, what do you do? You going to let him play it out? Or are you going to get serious and try to lock him up? Your best 30-second take, going to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. Bottom of the hour, we will make you the smartest person in the room. And everybody wants to get a little smarter. That's knowledge. Knowledge spelled with an N.
Knowledge. I thought it was a K, Fred.
See, that's why I'm the smartest person in the room. Creating my own words. You'll be the smartest person in the room. 1 o'clock hour. The big story in sports tonight actually takes place in Anaheim. Ohtani is pitching against the Red Sox. And what is the media coverage from Japan like for Ohtani? We'll get into that as well. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports.
Now listen to me, you can't win unless you answer the phone. Unknown, block number, somebody you don't like. Answer the phone. If you're going to text to try to win, you got to answer the phone to win the grand. Answer the phone, people.
BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour, 866-987-2570. Your best 30-second take. You're getting a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, the place to go with the all-new happy hour, including $4 BJ's signature handcrafted beer and half-off mini deep dish pizzas. All right, if you are the Dodgers, what do you do? You've got Yasiel Puig. You want to lock him up or do you want to play it out? Let's go, Paul, in Santa Clarita. You're on AM 570 LA Sports. Do it in 30 seconds. Go.
The Dodgers have already gone through the immature stage with Puig. He's being mentored now by a great gentleman and a great hitting coach.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh,
that's too bad.
Felt like he was going the right direction, right?
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was going in the right direction. Mike in Norwalk, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
6'6 is a remarkable talent and a very exciting player, but until he begins to stop these little league mindset errors, maturity is the true question. I think the Dodgers should wait this year, reassess, watch, see how the production, the maturation, and how he does in the postseason to truly decide whether a contract renewal will be to bring him back. The man's got all the talent in the world. He's right there with Trout, but he needs to show Trout maturation. Thanks. I'm out.
All right. Not a bad take at all.
Good take.
Not a bad take. Let's go, Dave in Santa Paula. You're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
For one thing, we've already seen that Yasiel Puig does not handle transition very well. You throw money at that guy, and he is going to go off again. And the Dodgers I've spent too much time investing in relationship with Turner and with the coach, Roberts. I think they should wait, and they'll see a benefit by waiting and going through the process of arbitration, and I'm out.
Appreciate it, Dave. Thanks. We'll continue to sprinkle your calls in. So if you want a piece of BJ's, get online. And if you don't get online now, you're probably not going to get in. We'll sprinkle these in. Let's go down to San Diego where the Dodgers are taking on the Padres tonight. And welcome David Vasse. Dave, thanks for jumping on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, it's a whole new ball game now, isn't it? Things have changed dramatically. The sky is not falling.
Right, Fred. You could stop the panicking.
Yeah, we haven't panicked, Dave. We're the ones that have not panicked. But others have panicked. Why the turnaround? The bats are just starting to wake up?
Well, I think it's good for the Dodgers. After beating the Diamondbacks, they have three games against the Padres, and they faced a guy that hadn't made a start in nearly 2 years coming off Tommy John surgery. So I think that helped.
Why you laugh with that, Dave?
I don't want to give any false sense of security here, but it is a step in the right direction. And like we talked about yesterday, coming off that Kershaw start on Sunday, where the Dodgers did play with a sense of urgency, they did play with a heightened focus, it would have meant nothing if they came back and were flat last night. And luckily for everybody in LA, the Dodgers carried that over and took care of business like they should have, and they got to continue to do that tonight. And Alex Wood will be more like himself, feeling a lot better after the food poisoning. So don't take too much away from his previous start. The first two were more Alex would like.
Was that food poisoning? Was that really bad sushi?
It was, Fred. Yeah. For whatever reason, the sushi he had did not sit well with him. He was there with Kyle Farmer, and Cody Bellinger went out with him too. So Cody got it as well, maybe from the sushi or the room service. So, you know, that it was bad sushi, no doubt about it, but it affected him more than it affected Cody. And obviously Kyle Farmer has got a stomach of steel.
Stomach of steel. You know, Dave, with all the struggles in the bats, we talked about the hitting and all that kind of stuff, but the one guy that's been pretty consistent has been Yasmani Grandal. Has there been a different approach to him this season? Because he is the one guy that you feel like you pretty much can count on night in and night out.
Yeah, what a combination the Dodgers have. Yasmani Grandal and Matt Kemp, just like they drew it up in spring training, right, guys? But Grandal told me in spring training, Rodney, when I first got there, he said, everybody's making such a big deal about me going to this hitting coach and worrying about launch angle. He said, that's not the point of what I'm trying to accomplish. I can hit home runs, but what I was trying to accomplish and what he is accomplishing is putting together better quality at-bats, meaning that, you know, it's not just about swinging three times as hard as you can and making an easy out. He wants to make the pitcher work, which, like we talked about yesterday too, was the Dodgers' identity. And he was kind of the outlier last year and the last couple of years as far as that goes. And he keeps on saying that he wants to make the pitcher work for at least five pitches. And he's doing that, and that's what matters to him, which is a great turnaround in approach from what we've seen in years past. And I think he's going to the plate with a lot more confidence than he did at any point in time that I've seen in the last 2 years.
Dodgers face the Padres tonight. Alex Wood is on the hill. Dodgers on deck with Tim Cate starts at 6 right after Petros and Money. All right, we talked about this earlier today, Dave. Yasiel Puig has gone out and gotten himself a new agent. Now let's break this down. Following this year, he is arbitration eligible. Stop me when I'm wrong. And following the next season, he is a free agent. Is all of that accurate?
You are accurate, Fred, and I'm sorry you lost out to the Beverly Hills Sports Council.
who did he sign with?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the Beverly Hills Sports Council. I'm sorry, Fred. Rogan Agency did not get the services of Yasiel Puig.
Yeah. And what does this mean now for Puig? Could the Dodgers say, let's have a conversation, let's lock this guy up, let's not even go to arbitration? Is that a possibility?
It is a possibility, but probably less than a 5% chance of that happening at this point in time in the season.
Because?
There's no need to do it. The Dodgers are going to wait to see how it plays out. They want to probably see how Puig finishes out this year, and if anything were to happen as far as that goes, an extension, that happens right before arbitration, where both sides exchange numbers, and if they feel like they don't want to go in front of an arbitrator, that's where you find those type of deals being made. But it's not going to happen before that, unless you're Mike Trout or Bryce Harper or somebody like that.
You know, Dave, we're almost a full month in, and, you know, this is a time where everybody starts talking about who moves up, moves down. We talked about Andrew Tolles, but he obviously had the injury and went on the DL. What do you see happening in the next week or so of anybody moving up, moving down? Obviously, Matt Kemp's doing well, so he's not a guy that you're thinking about. But what about like guys like Jock Peterson or any guys, you know, Alex Verdugo in AAA? I mean, is there going to be any movement in the next couple of weeks?
Not unless there's an injury, Rodney. I just don't see that happening. The Dodgers want Alex Verdugo to get at-bats on a regular basis. So unless there's an injury in the outfield where that would open up something for him, I don't see that happening. Now, the one thing that's interesting is the way Hyunjin Ryu pitched the last two nights, the last two times he's gone out. The Dodgers need him to hold down the fort till at least June, because they want to keep Walker Buehler's inning somewhere around 150. So if he could hold down the fort, him and Kenta Maeda can hold down those last two spots in the rotations and let Walker Buehler have a controlled environment in AAA before he gets called up, that would be a huge advantage for the Dodgers as far as their plans go.
David Van Say is joining us. The Dodgers take on the Padres tonight down in San Diego. Kyle Farmer, are we going to see more of him, Dave, or no?
I hope so, Fred. He should be playing more third base than Kike Hernandez. Yeah, all this guy does is hit. All he does is play solid defense. So hopefully last night was an indication that Dave Roberts is going that route.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I was surprised they didn't insert him quicker.
Well, yeah, I don't know the thought process and the numbers and the information they have, but obviously that's something that I think now with Forsythe out and the way Kike looked and the way Farmer's been playing, he's got to get more at-bats.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Well, Dave, thanks for coming on. Thanks for setting the stage for tonight. You were terrific and magnificent as always.
I appreciate that, with an iron stomach, Dave. You got an iron stomach.
I do. I'm going to test that out in a little bit here.
All right, thanks, Dave.
All right, guys, see ya.
All right, Dave, and stay away from the sushi.
Oh, don't eat the sushi.
Don't eat the sushi.
That's only up north. San Diego sushi is okay.
Wouldn't you think San Francisco sushi would be good?
You really would. Unless they went to some off-the-beaten-path sushi place.
Yeah, you know what I think. I think there was a conspiracy.
So what, some Giants players told him, hey, this is a great sushi joint.
Yeah, go hit this up. And then they talked to the sensei, and that was the end of it. Isn't that the guy that, it's not the sensei?
No, it's not the sensei.
Sensei.
Oh, sorry.
Didn't the sensei used to play for the Angels back in the day?
I think Doug,
yeah,
the sensei.
That's right.
Look
that's
at
right.
you, Isaac. Look at you.
Come on, Isaac, let's go.
Yours.
Gotcha, Isaac. Time to make someone the smartest person in the room.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news.
Fake.
Always real, and always spectacular. Competing with Rodney today, from sales, it is Ann. Ann, welcome.
Hi.
Why? Oh, she sounded so sweet. Hi. And,
I am.
And Ann's a killer. She's an assassin, too. Hi. Come on, bring it.
Let's just play the game.
That's not going to fool me, Ann. I'm coming at you.
Here we go. Adidas interested in signing Colin Kaepernick if he signs with an NFL team first. Shoe company Adidas wants to sign Colin Kaepernick to an endorsement deal, but is held off because the former 49er quarterback is not on an NFL roster. Mark King, president of the Adidas North American division, said if he signs on a team, we would definitely want to sign him. Rodney, is that real or fake?
I mean, it sounds real. It sounds real. The shoe company wants him. I think he was a Nike guy beforehand, so I think Nike would have the first right. I'm not buying it. I think that's fake.
You're saying it's fake.
I'm saying it's fake.
Ann.
Don't give any hints to Ann.
I'm just asking.
Ann can hold her own.
Ann?
Stop looking at Ann like that.
No, I'm watching Ann hold her own.
Okay.
Is it real or fake?
Real.
You're going to say real.
All that, and why?
Is there any reason you're going to say real, or you just think it's real?
I'm just going to do whatever the opposite of Rodney says.
That's how you're going to play?
No, but this one I think it's real.
Okay. It's real, boy. It's real. They go in.
Oh. Okay. I told you. I told you. She's an assassin.
Okay.
Oh, that little mouse. Hi.
That's not even how she talks.
I know.
All right. Yeah. There you go.
All right.
Lakers Lowell Deng wants to invest in the Lakers G League team. Laker Lowell Deng is in the middle of a four-year contract that pays him $18 million a year. Oh, my God. For the next two seasons.
Jesus.
He played in exactly one game this past season. He told the OC Register yesterday he has approached the Lakers front office about buying an interest in the Lakers G League team, the South Bay Lakers. And is that real or fake?
Sounds fake.
It sounds fake?
Yeah.
Way to do your homework, Ann. golly, yeah. You know, if I'm him. All he's got is money, and he's laying low and not making any waves, making that $18 million a year of the worst deal in history of the NBA. I don't see him coming out and sticking his head out to try to make any kind of waves about buying into a G League team or D League team or F League team or K League team. I'm going to say fake.
You're going fake?
Yeah.
What if he wanted to buy in the Korean Basketball League where nobody can be taller than 6'6" and a half?
That might be real, but this one's fake.
This is fake?
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
All right. You're still up one.
Uh-huh.
Oh, now you're cocky. It's still early.
No.
It's still early, Ann.
It is.
Wow. All right. Listen to this one. Hot-blooded heterosexual claims pain meds turned him gay. 23-year-old unemployed Britt Scott Purdy claims that a frequently prescribed pain medication turned him gay. Purdy started taking Lyrica, commonly prescribed to treat anxiety disorders, epilepsy, and nerve pain. And he told the Mirror, "I noticed my libido for women had gone, and I was wanting male attention." Rodney, did pain medication turn him gay?
Do you know from experience?
Is that real or fake?
Ann! In the world! What in the world?
I just tried to overlook that. Did you see? I didn't even respond to that, Ann.
No, you didn't. Well, and yes, I've had pain medication, but I didn't...
Go on.
...think it turned me...
And everybody's had a past. Get up Rodney's back.
Yes, Ann. You know what? It's so crazy, so outrageous. I'm gonna go real that he believes that. They said that. Yeah, that's real.
Okay, Ann, we're prepared for your one-word answer. Go ahead.
No, actually, I feel like maybe he did do something and got caught, and then this is his way to kind of blame it on something else. Yeah. So, you know, he doesn't have to, like, he could say, it's not me, it's the meds.
Right.
So I think this might be true. Okay. True.
You're going real.
Oh, real. I'm sorry. Real. It's real, boy. It's real.
It's real, boy. It's real. You just copied me. I thought you were going opposite me.
Well, I was, but what was the medication called?
Lyrica.
Okay.
Like you know.
Yeah, right.
Lyrica. Oh, yeah.
No,
oh, yeah,
of course. I feel,
you know what it did to you.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I've heard that.
No, you haven't.
I've heard of Lyrica, yes.
Oh, but you haven't heard it did that to somebody.
No.
Okay.
But now I know what to slip in somebody's drink. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, that Ann is something else.
All right, number four, right?
Yeah. Shohei Ohtani. You're a little bossy, man. Good Lord. He's trying to play the game.
Oh, Lord.
Shohei Ohtani did not pass a pop quiz about the Boston Red Sox. Angel rookie Shohei Ohtani spoke to reporters yesterday in anticipation of his start against the Red Sox tonight in Anaheim. He was asked by one reporter if he could name a former great Red Sox player, to which Ohtani shook his head. Then, when asked if he could name the baseball stadium the Red Sox play in, he said through an interpreter, "Red Sox Stadium?" Ann, is that real or fake?
Fake.
Once again, a lot of depth to your answer. Thank you, Ann. Thank you for expanding on your answer. Ann's going fake. That's fine, Ann. No, you...
Do you want...
Yeah, no, you know what? Ann, you're good. You said fake. You said fake, right?
Yes.
All right, I'm going real. Because I think that, yeah, I think that sometimes if you're not here, you're not really in tune to the names of the stadium. Even though they're historic stadiums, you're not in tune to that. So, yeah, I believe that. That's real.
You're saying it's real?
Yeah, I'm saying it's real.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Oh, no.
Whew.
Rodney.
I'm down.
You're down two.
Oh, my goodness.
Is there any coming back from this? Or do we have...
No, he could tie you.
If I get these both wrong.
And he gets them right.
Mm, well, yikes. Sucks to be you.
And a little cocky now.
Yeah, look at you.
And is stepping to you, Rodney.
I know. Stepping hard. It's been a rough week for me.
Yeah, it has.
Why?
I've lost a couple times.
Sorry.
Brett Favre failed Monday Night Football audition. ESPN is looking for John Gruden's replacement, and they gave Packer great Brett Favre a chance. According to Andrew Marchand of the New York Post, Favre's audition did not go well, so much so that Favre is reportedly no longer under consideration for this gig. Rodney, is that real or fake?
It's Ann's turn first.
No, it's yours. I went first.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real. That's absolutely real.
Ann.
I was going to say real.
So, you were going to say real. What are you going to say?
Real.
Okay.
I guess I win. Oh.
You're playing the game, man. Now you're playing the game. Okay, I see. It didn't matter. You're just going to agree with me so you can win.
All right, this is the last one. Teenager upset.
I'm pressing. This is worth three.
Okay.
No.
Teenager upset that a tornado ripped his neighborhood apart while he was in the middle of a Fortnite game. As strong storms barreled through a Greensboro neighborhood, a young man helped his sister and nephew stay safe despite being caught up in a video game. Anton Williams told the television station there, "I was sitting at home and I was playing Fortnite, and all of a sudden I hear a bunch of noises. Look out the window, and I started seeing the roof come off the houses in front of me. I sat back down because I only have a couple of people left in my game, and I was going to try to finish the game. Houses are being torn apart." He sat back down and finished. And is that real or fake?
How old is this kid?
I don't know. I believe he's a teenager. Is that accurate? He's a teenager.
I mean, I hope that is fake. Could be real, though.
What do you think?
I'm going to go with fake.
Fake. Rodney.
Well, then I have to go real because I got to go opposite. You know, I'm way behind, and this is worth three, so this is for the win.
No, it's not.
All right, well.
I'm going real.
You're going real. Listen to this.
So tell us what you were doing and what you saw.
I was sitting at home, and I was playing Fortnite, and all of a sudden I just hear a bunch of noise, and I look out the window, and I start seeing the roof come off the houses in front of me. But then I sit back down because I only got like a couple people left in my game. I was going to try to finish the game.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got one wrong. That doesn't count as 3 points.
Yeah, it's my game. It does. It's a bonus round.
No.
You didn't hear about the bonus round?
No.
Oh.
And congratulations. Congratulations, man. Ann.
Thank you.
Well done.
I'm on a bad streak right now. I lost to Ann. When you lose to Ann, you know things are going bad.
Why is that?
Because Ann never wins. Yeah.
Ann won today.
Wow.
All right, Ann, congratulations. Rodney will await the rematch.
I can't wait.
Till next time.
All right, Ann. Thank you.
We're going to sprinkle in more of the BJ's calls and award the winner of the BJ's lunch hour question. But when we come back, it is the story that people are talking about today. It is the story you will carry with you. It is the Pulse. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete. All right, your BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse lunch hour question. If you're the Dodgers, what do you do with the Yasiel Puig? Do you want to get him locked up, or are you going to let it play out and gamble that it's going to cost you an awful lot more? That's the question. Eric in L.A., you're on AM 570 L.A. Sports. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, you don't need it. With Puig, he hit his plateau. You could go to arbitration to see if he get another pitcher or get a top draft. Not like he Dusty Baker or Rick Monday. Because you give him more money, he's like the baseball Dennis Rodman. Thank you.
All right, appreciate the call. I don't know if he's the baseball Dennis Rodman.
The baseball.
Don't know if he's going over to North Korea.
Wow.
Is that the first time that Rick Monday, Dennis Rodman, and who Dusty else Baker. Was mentioned the same sentence?
All the Dusty same Baker. Sentence. That was impressive. Jose in Beverly Hills, go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, go ahead, Jose.
Don't be fooled. Harper is coming, and he's on his way. I know David Bassey didn't want to say it, but he's on his way. These next 2 years for Puig, put him in center field, left field, and see if he works out there. If not, see you when I see you. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. We'll do one more today. We'll go Junior in Fontana. Go ahead, Junior.
Okay, I say you sign him. He's a stud. His arm has made up a difference. We let Martinez and Piazza go, and we shouldn't do that with Puig because, you know what, he'll be hitting his 30 home runs a year. That's it.
All right, appreciate it. We'll award the winner of BJ's in a couple of minutes. But now, this is the story that you're talking about. This is the number one trending story in Los Angeles right now.
The Pulse.
And that is another report that Doc Rivers will not return to coach the Clippers. Now, Doc said that he wanted to come back and coach the Clippers. He'd be happy to return. If you remember in his exit interview, he said, no, I'm good here. But this is the second person now that has reported. This is Peter Vesey. Bill Plaschke of the Times told us the other day that Doc Rivers will not be back to coach the Clippers. Rodney, what do you think?
Yeah. I believe Doc in him saying he wants to come back. I think he wants to finish what he started. I think he's comfortable here. I think the ownership, he likes Steve Ballmer. He has obviously a great relationship with Lawrence Frank. It would have to be the perfect situation for him to go somewhere else. And I know some of the other teams thrown out there, the Knicks, maybe Orlando, things like that. But that's you're talking total rebuild there as well. I just don't see him going to another rebuild as opposed to staying here with the Clippers. So I'm not buying it. I think Doc stays and tries to make this work here in L.A. I think he did one of his best coaching jobs, given all the things he had to deal with, injuries, you know, Chris Paul gone, Blake Griffin gone. Through all of that, I think he did one of his best jobs. So I see Doc staying here and being the Clipper coach.
The Pulse.
Well, according to Peter Vesey, they're looking at Jeff Van Gundy talking to him or would talk to him, and they're also considering Villanova's Jay Wright. Now, there have been reports that Wright would be offered NBA jobs, but those reports were refuted when it was determined that he's pretty happy where he's at. It would cost an awful lot of money to get him. And understand that the Clippers owe Doc Rivers $10 million. So if he were to go somewhere else, obviously there would be an adjustment. He was paid as the president of basketball operations and the coach. As the coach, he's probably not going to make $10 million a year, so there would be an adjustment. If he went somewhere and made seven, the Clippers would have to make up the final three in the final year of his deal. Given that he said he wanted to stay, but now the reports are, no, he's going to go, and the Clippers are going to have to rebuild completely. If that's the case, if that's the direction they go in, and we have placed a call to Lawrence Frank earlier in the week, and hopefully we'll get him on eventually, but if the Clippers go in a total rebuild, Rodney, I'm not so sure Doc would want to stay around. DeAndre Jordan, they've got to try to move him because he is wasted here, pure and simple. I mean, it's DeAndre's option. And is anybody going to pay him more than $24 million a year right now? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't think so. It has to be the right situation for DeAndre. He's one of those kind of special players. He has to be in the right offense, right team. I think when Chris Paul was here, when they were playing Lob City ball, it was perfect for him. But for him to build around, and he's not that guy that you build the team around. Great player, great guy, great defensive player, but you don't build around him. So if he goes, it is a total rebuild. And, maybe Doc doesn't stay for that here either.
The Pulse.
All right, Jason, who won BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question today?
You know what? We asked the callers, what do you do with Yasiel Puig? And Mike in Norwalk had a well-thought-out call.
6-6 is is a remarkable talent and a very exciting player. But until he begins to stop these little league mindset errors, maturity is the true question. I think the Dodgers should wait this year, reassess, watch, see how the production, the maturation, and how he does in the postseason to truly decide whether a contract renewal will be to bring him back. The man's got all the talent in the world. He's right there with Trout, but he needs to show Trout maturation. Thanks. I'm out.
There you go, Mike in Norwalk. You've won a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House on Tuesdays. $3 Pizookie desserts and half-off wine by the glass or bottle. Wherever you are and whatever you do, there is always a BJ's Restaurant and Brew House near you. Next hour, we'll determine if it was a good call or a bad call. Plus, really the big story in town is Ohtani is pitching tonight against one of the best teams in baseball, the Boston Red Sox. We're curious about the kind of coverage he is getting in our backyard. We'll explain. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. This hour, we'll determine if it was a good call or a bad call. Also, Mike Williams of the Chargers, Rodney's going to jump on.
That's right. Mike Williams coming back. He had an injury-ridden first year, and I know he's looking forward to coming back this year and showing what he can do and the reason why he was picked in the first round.
All right, so we'll talk with Mike, and in a moment we'll get down and check in on Ohtani in Anaheim. He's going tonight against the Red Sox. It really is the biggest event in town tonight, and that's unfortunate for another team.
Kings update.
Yeah, normally a team in the playoffs, and actually on the brink of elimination, but in the playoffs, would be the headline. And the Kings tonight are on the brink of elimination against the Vegas Golden Knights at Staples Center. If they lose, they're done. Their season is over. They're down 3-0. And it seems rather drastic, but remember, a few years back, they were down 3-0 in the first round of the playoffs, came back to win four straight, and that year went on to win the Stanley Cup. It's not impossible if you're a Kings fan, but quite frankly, it's highly improbable.
You know who else isn't looking that good right now, Fred?
The Ducks update.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty ugly yesterday, brother.
Yeah, they went down last night in San Jose.
Was it 8-1?
Yeah, they got spanked.
Yeah.
They got spanked.
Ugly.
You know, and after the game, Randy Carlyle, the Ducks coach, sat there and goes, hey, look, we just play it one period at a time. 1 minute at a time, 1 period at a time. We can't get caught up now in, you know, worrying about how many games we're behind, which tells you they're in huge trouble as well. So both the hockey teams now on the brink of being swept and on the brink of of elimination. But for the Angels, they have been the surprise team in baseball. In the latest power rankings, if you believe in those types of things, they were actually ranked ahead of the Astros. So the Angels have been the surprise, and in almost any market other than this one, the talk of baseball. Because the Dodgers reign supreme here. But the Angels have the most exciting guy in the game right now, and all eyes will be focused on him tonight. Ohtani. He's pitching against the Boston Red Sox. Jeff Fletcher of the Southern California News Group has been with the Angels every day since the start of spring training. He joins us now. Jeff, thanks for jumping on.
Sure, thanks for having me.
All right, Ohtani on the hill tonight. Look, when he plays, it's an event. Is it more of an event when he pitches from a media perspective?
Yeah, I think it is because, you know, the pitching is obviously a more scheduled thing. Everybody knows days in advance when he's going to pitch, whereas when he hits, he's not really sure until we see the lineup. And, you know, the Japanese media contingent just about doubles on the days that he's pitching as opposed to the days that he's hitting. So, and I imagine the crowd will be much bigger when he's pitching. So it'll be quite a big deal.
Yeah, and with the success that he's having early on, it's understandable that he wants to play more. And I know the schedule is that he doesn't hit or play, you know, the day before or the day after, but he's voiced his opinion that he wants, you know, to play more. Do you see any of that changing given the success that he's had early?
Not in the near future. I mean, we're still very early in the season and this is still kind of unprecedented territory in Major League Baseball. So I don't think they want to do anything that's going to mess it up. You know, it's working so far. He seems to be performing well at both hitting and pitching. And the last thing they want is for him to get hurt or for him to have one of those skills deteriorate because he's doing too much. So I think that plus, you know, they don't really need his bat. They've got a very good lineup. He bats seventh or eighth. So if you're going to bat him more, you know, it's probably not going to help you offensively all that much. And if it has a chance to hurt his pitching, which is what the Angels really need, then it would really be a disaster.
Jeff Fletcher, Southern California News Group, with Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. I want to go back to the Japanese media. You said there will be a bigger contingent tonight. What is the normal number of media members from Japan that follows him? And how many will be there tonight? What is his routine like?
Well, on a kind of a normal everyday game, there's probably 30 to 40 Japanese media. And on the days he pitches, it probably will go up to 75, 100, something like that. Now, you know, that includes every camera guy and all kinds of things. But, you know, his routine is pretty much that he talks after the game on the days that he plays. So, the days that he doesn't play, he doesn't talk to anybody before or after the game. It doesn't really affect him that much. It's not that much of an inconvenience for him or for the rest of the team. He does his media stuff outside of the clubhouse, either in a press conference room or out in the hallway or something like that. And, you know, the whole process takes maybe 10 minutes. So it's not that big of a circus for him to deal with. The Angels have done a pretty good job from his standpoint of kind of shielding him, I think, from all that.
So the Japanese media can and sometimes does outnumber the American media members. Now, are they competitive with each other? Are they all running after him, trying to grab the story? How does that work?
Certainly they would like to be competitive with each other, but it's very difficult on them because they all basically get the same access to Otani. Nobody gets any one-on-one interviews with him. Everybody basically gets the same thing. So the only way they can separate themselves from each other is if they can get something from, you know, a third party, some other player saying something about Otani. And, you know, a lot of them that have limited English skills, that makes it difficult for them to get to. So I do not envy them. They have a very, very difficult job because there's so many of them covering one person and one person who doesn't really talk to them all that much. So it's a tough job they have.
Hey, Jeff, you know, obviously he had so much success in Japan, but coming over here, we all talked about it's a different ball game. In fact, you know, Fred and I both, you know, with his struggles in spring training, felt that, you know, it may be a good thing. Maybe he goes down and starts the season in AAA, and that was never an option according to the Angels brass. But then some people believe that he was sandbagging a little bit, that he was holding back until the regular season. Do you buy into the fact that he was holding back a little bit and waiting to the season starts, and then he burst on the scene because he's having tremendous success, whereas everybody believed that he was going to struggle early?
Spring training, you know, spring training doesn't count, and there's no reason to perform in spring training. All spring training is for is to prepare yourself for the season. And I think to him, you know, what he needed to prepare was some games, you know, only throw his splitter, some games, you know, just work on just gripping the ball, which is it's a little different kind of baseball than they have in Japan. There was other games where he's playing with a bunch of minor leaguers playing defense behind him, so there are, you know, a bunch of hits. It looks like a bunch of hits in the box score, but, you know, in reality, if Andrelton Simmons is playing shortstop behind him, that's an out, and we're not having this conversation. So I think there's just a whole lot of things that were different about spring training than the regular season. Not to mention, obviously, you know, as an athlete, when you get in there, a game that counts, there's a lot of adrenaline that is not there when you're playing on a backfield in front of 100 people in Arizona.
Jeff Fletcher with us, Southern California News Group. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Final question before we let you go. Do you think, I know in Orange County, Otani is a huge deal. Do you think the rest of the country has now caught up with this guy and keeping an eye on him and what a remarkable accomplishment this is?
I do, and I can tell you my proof of that is that I've done these kind of radio interviews basically every day for the last 3 weeks from places all over the country, you know, in England and Japan and Canada and everywhere. So there's lots of people that are interested in following this story because it's definitely, he's not just like, you know, when Yu Darvish came over, Hideki Matsui, or somebody that was just a good baseball player from Japan. He's doing something that nobody has done before, and he's doing it very well. And that is a big story to everybody.
Jeff, thanks for jumping on. I'll see you down there in Anaheim this afternoon.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Back at you, Jeff. Jeff Fletcher, Southern California News Group. Everybody excited about what's happening down at Anaheim today, Rodney?
It's a big day in Anaheim. And, you know, we've seen him perform, but when you play the Red Sox or the Yankees, one of those iconic franchises, everybody gets a little bit more fired up. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs.
All right. 866-987-2570. If you'd like to weigh in, it's Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. When we come back, Mike Williams, Chargers receiver, will join us. They've got some practice workouts going on. We'll check in with Mike as we continue.
And answer the phone when it rings. If it buzzes, if it chimes, answer the phone. That's the only way you can win. That's the only way we put a grand in your hand. If it's an unknown number, block number, number you don't recognize, answer the phone.
Just answer the phone. All right, we're waiting for Mike Williams here, but let's get Buddy and Rancho Cucamonga on the air. He says Ohtani is the best pitcher in baseball right now. That might be a bit lofty at this time, Buddy, but go ahead.
Well, I saw him pitch against the A's, and I in his arsenal, it looks like he's got a good 4 to 5 devastating pitches. And being a pitcher in the past myself, I think he is absolutely the best pitcher in baseball right now. I don't think there's anybody else that has that many pitches that are just almost unhittable. That's what I saw anyway.
Appreciate the call.
The Dodgers are all, on the verge of getting red hot.
Well, let's hope so. Thanks, buddy. Really do appreciate the call. Really do. I
got to see the second time around, right? You got to see, you know, a little bit longer sample size or bigger sample size. He's hot on the scene right now. People are just seeing him for the first time. Give it a little while, and as people come back and see him a second time, third time, then we'll see.
And we'll find out tonight, because he's going to take on one of the best teams in the American League, the Red Sox. What a thrill now to be joined by a star of the Los Angeles Chargers. Old habits die hard. We welcome Mike Williams to the show. Mike, thanks for coming on, man.
No problem. Appreciate y'all having me.
Hey, how excited are you? Last year at this time, wasn't good. It wasn't good for you because basically you couldn't really do much. You were going through it. Now you're healthy. You're ready. What does this workout mean for you?
Oh, it means a lot. I mean, just like you said, last year, just watching the team, and this year, just being a part of, you know, it means a lot. You know, I have a chance just to have a full off season with Phillip and the rest of the offense just to get that chemistry together. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's what I was going to say. You know, for me as a former QB, it was always important the off season to kind of get that chemistry with my receivers. And you didn't get a chance to really have that last year because of the injuries. So is that your approach to this off season? And now that workouts are starting, is to really make sure that you and Phillip are on the same page. He understands your body movements and things that you like to do and vice versa.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, last year, it was about 6 games in. It just threw me in the fire. I mean, he already had his chemistry with the other receivers. So, I mean, I'm just taking this time right here in the offseason, you know, run some routes with him, get the timing down, and everything else will happen from there. It'll be good from there.
Charger wide receiver Mike Williams with us. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet on AM 570, LA Sports. Anthony Lynn said yesterday he feels like it's just like having another first-round pick back because you really didn't play much last year. Do you feel that way as well?
Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, I missed a lot of time last year. I didn't get the opportunity. I wanted to play just because of the injury. I mean, I was hurt most of the seasons. I mean, this off season, you know, I took the time to get my back right, to get the rest, to get everything right. So now I'm feeling good. So I'm just ready to go out and dominate and just, you know, not prove to everyone else, but prove to myself that, I mean, I know I'm capable of playing this league, and I'm just go out there and make some plays.
Yeah, no, I love what you said. I go out there and dominate. Hey, Mike, you did get a chance to play a little bit. Coming out of college and then now entering into the NFL, what did you see or what did you feel was the biggest adjustment you had to make?
The biggest adjustment? Taking care of your body and just having a set vision. Probably the main thing. I mean, college, you got class, you got tutoring, you got practice. I mean, NFL is just strictly football, so you got to just set a schedule for yourself and stick to that daily schedule of yours. That's probably the main thing.
You know, you come onto a team now that started slowly, finished strong, And a lot of people are saying the team flying under the radar, but with one of the best rosters in the league, the Chargers. Now, when you hear that, what do you think?
Oh, I mean, the people upstairs put a good team together. I mean, that's where it starts. And everybody else just coming together. I mean, last season wasn't pretty good. Last season, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot a couple games, and we felt like we should have made the playoffs. But, I mean, the team just, we know how it feels just to be down there, and we don't want to be down there no more. So we coming together this offseason just preparing to go on that run next year.
Hey, Mike, I remember a year ago I talked to you on draft night, and you were going through it. It was pretty exciting times, and now we're coming up on this year's draft. Take us through that for you last year and what these guys can expect coming up on the draft, these young guys about to get drafted this year.
Oh, well, just enjoy the moment. That's the main thing. Enjoy the moment with the people who helped you get to this point. I mean, it's not just you who was doing everything. You had people to help you get to this point. So just enjoy the moment and just celebrate with your loved ones and just have fun. You only get this opportunity. So, I mean, you got to make the best of it.
Chargers receiver Mike Williams with us on AM570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete. Flashing back to draft night last year, did you know you were going to the Chargers, and how did you feel when your name was called?
No, I didn't have a clue that I was going there. But when they called my name, I mean, the first thing that came to my mind, I was going to have a great quarterback throwing me. I was going to have surround myself with some other great receivers, you know, had a good running back in the backfield. So I already knew we was going to have a pretty good offense. So after that, I was just looking forward to just getting out there and just getting with the guys, just looking at everybody's faces and communicating with the rest of the fellas.
How did you like Southern California? What do you think of this place?
Oh, it's nice. I mean, the weather always good. It's way different from South Carolina, where I'm from, but, I mean, you can't beat it playing in California.
Hey, Mike, how is it playing, with a guy like Keenan Allen? Obviously, he speaks his mind, but a very talented receiver. When I look at you guys, and a lot of people talk about, you know, other teams around the league who did a lot of things in this offseason and signing free agents, but you guys didn't really do a whole lot. And I think the main reason is because I think your roster is very strong. Talk about your receiving core and how you guys gel together.
Like, we have the pieces to get the job done. I mean, everyone who's there now is the guys we need and we're going to use to get the job done. So, I mean, the wide receiver room, everyone competes. Everyone help everyone's out. Everyone love to come out and make plays. I mean, we know our goal this year, so we will stick to that and just everything else will happen from there.
Mike, thanks for jumping on today. Great to talk to you. Glad you're healthy and excited to get to watch you play an entire season.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank y'all for having me.
All right, there he goes, Charger receiver Mike Williams.
Yeah, he's a dynamic player. He's a difference maker, and the Chargers certainly missed him. You could tell early in the season they missed his presence. They drafted him for a reason. They didn't get a chance to utilize him last year. So I know from him and just listening to him, he's very hungry to get back out there.
You know, it's safe to say, and I think everybody would agree to this, the Rams won the offseason. They won the news conferences by far. They made the biggest splash in the league.
Yeah.
But the Chargers, people that really know, think they do have one of the best rosters in the NFL, Rodney.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's what I was saying. It's like everybody's talking about moves you make, and you said, Fred, and we joke about it. You know, everybody, you know, play the name game. You got to do this. You got to do that. And we talk about it with the Dodgers didn't do a whole lot because they're impressed with their own roster. And I think the Chargers are in the same boat, is that they feel like they have a pretty good roster. And you look at the way they finished. You look at what they have on both sides of the ball. That roster is as good as anybody in the league. So why mess with it? Especially when you really didn't have a guy like Mike Williams to go to last year. Now he's back healthy. That just adds to something. And I love what Anthony Lynn said. You know, it's like having a first round draft choice again, because we really didn't get to utilize this guy last year.
Do you think the Chargers will have a bigger footprint in the market this year? Or do you think the Rams have done so much during the offseason that the Chargers really haven't gained any ground?
Well, you know, winning takes care of everything, and I think the fact that the Rams won last year, went to the playoffs, and then you couple that with the moves that they made, not just, you know, a couple of them, but big-time moves they made with some guys, the excitement is more so, I think, with the Rams because they did make the playoffs. They were exciting to watch. Everybody is expecting more out of them this year. But, you know, once the season starts, you start winning. I think both these teams got a chance to get off to really good starts and make the playoffs.
All right. In a moment, we'll determine if it's a good call or a bad call. But here's Isaac.
Bad.
All right, Isaac, thanks very much. Let's determine now, all of us together, as a group, if it's a good call or a bad call.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
All right, guys, we just spoke with Mike Williams, receiver for the L.A. Chargers, who have a pretty deep receiving core as it is. Tyra Williams had a good year last year. Travis Benjamin, good in the return game as well as a receiver. And, of course, Dez Bryant's name has been thrown out there the last couple of weeks, or I should say as of last week when he got released by the Dallas Cowboys. Now, he did an interview with 247sports.com where he said he would be a great tandem to team up with Odell Beckham Jr. out there in New York. But he also said he will be intrigued and it will be quote-unquote fun to play for the Los Angeles Rams or Chargers, and I guess specifically the Rams as well. So would it be a good call or a bad call for Dez Bryant to bring his talents out here to Los Angeles to either the Chargers or the Rams? Fred?
Bad call.
Okay.
Simply put, not what he was. Won't be what he was. Neither team needs him. Neither team needs the heartache. And neither team needs the headache. So I'm sure he would take his talents to whoever would want them at this point. He needs a job. But no, bad call for the local teams.
How about you, Rodney?
Good call for the local teams. He's going to bring that attitude, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's got something to prove. I think he feels he was wronged by the Dallas Cowboys. He's got something left in the tank. I think that's going to fuel him to have a better season or a good season coming up next year. And no one that really signs him believes that he's going to be the Dez Bryant of 5 years ago. He can't separate. He's not going to run by anybody, but he doesn't have to. He's not expected to be the number one receiver, so he could be the number two or three guy and still be very, very effective and bring that attitude to that locker room and that receiver corps. So it could be a good call, I think.
And considering where the Rams have gone this offseason with their other moves, it'd be a pretty intriguing locker room with him and Sue in there with Marcus Peters. Pretty combustible. High risk, high reward, I guess, though, too. Now, Matthew Slater, son of Jackie, friend of the station, of course, played at UCLA, also one of the great special teamers in the NFL over the last 7 or 8 years. And he came out with an interview earlier today talking about the possibility that kickoffs will be going away in the NFL. The NCAA had a rule that they just instituted last week where players can fair catch the ball anywhere inside the 25-yard line and the ball will be spotted there. So it can be in the end zone, it can be at the 5, at the 15, at the 20, it doesn't matter. They can call for a fair catch. And Slater is not a fan of the new rules. He says it will be tragic if the NFL were to do away with the kickoff rule, and cited himself and Steve Tasker, who's also, some people believe if there was a Hall of Famer that could make the Hall of Fame based on special teams play, Steve Tasker of the Bills back in the day will be a guy like that, speaking out against these alternatives to the kickoff. So my question to you gentlemen, would it be a good call or a bad call for the NFL to eliminate kickoffs altogether in the near future? I'll start with you, Rodney.
Bad call. You know, there's only so many jobs in the NFL, so many ways a guy can make a team and players can make, you know, a living doing it. And there are certain guys that special, you know, it's why they call special teams. They're specialists at it. And when you take that away, you're cutting into somebody's livelihood and somebody's job. So I don't like it. I still think the kickoff and punt returns are a very exciting part of football. I know they're trying to do away with some of the injuries, but I like the kickoffs and the punts, so I think it's a bad call to do away with it.
Fred?
I think it's a necessary evil, so I'll say it's a good call. Because safety is their number one concern now. And given the fact that so many people are trying to sue them, I think they want to protect themselves at all costs. And I think that if they believe it will make the game safer and eliminate some injuries, they're going to do it. Rodney, I'll ask you, when you played, how many guys would get banged up on special teams?
A lot. They did. Yeah, a lot of guys did. A lot of guys got banged up. It's a full-fledged collision every time during special team plays. But it's certainly big-time momentum shifts when you have a guy that can return the kicks and get you good field position. So it's part of strategy, and I love it. Yeah, and I get the injury factor, but I'd hate to see it go away.
And you mentioned guys who make impacts. I mean, look at a guy like Devin Hester.
Yes.
I mean, people think he could be a Hall of Famer based solely on his ability to change games as a punt and kick returner. Got the Bears, helped that Bears team get to the Super Bowl. Wasn't Rex Grossman.
Absolutely. I mean, he was a difference maker. You talk about flipping the field and getting field position, you know, challenging other teams to kick away from him. He was such a big threat as anybody on that field, and you take that away, you're taking away an advantage that someone may have. I play with a guy named Mel Gray. He was great because we would get the ball at the 40, 50-yard line to start drives. That was amazing to have a guy like that.
Yeah, I guess it's the question of, you know, is it safety or entertainment versus safety of players? And I guess it's hard to find a middle ground with that. So we'll see how that progresses. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about Brett Favre, and he, I guess, bombed his interview or his tryout for ESPN's Monday Night Football position. And Mike Mayock, who was worked for the NFL Network, he's their main draft guru analyst. He had an interview on Houston radio yesterday, and he kind of went off on a bit of a rant saying that he's a little frustrated that people like himself who played in the NFL but didn't play that long, were not Hall of Famers, weren't great players, don't have the same opportunities as guys like Favre or guys like Tony Romo fresh off the field or guys like Aikman, bigger name Hall of Fame type names who leave the field and automatically step into not only the analyst chair but the big time analyst chair. He says he's done Notre Dame games nationally, he's done Thursday Night Football for the NFL Network in the past, but for whatever reason, because he doesn't have the biggest name or the biggest resume as a player, he doesn't get those same opportunities as others do. Is it a good call or a bad call for networks to hire talent based on the merits of their playing career as opposed to their abilities as an analyst, Fred?
It's a bad call, but here's why. Just because you're hired doesn't mean you won't be fired. You might have the name going in, but if you don't perform at that level, they're not going to keep you.
And it's happened.
You know, a lot. For Mike Mayock, who does a good job.
Yeah.
The reason that he has not done more, quite frankly, because he's had the big stage. He's had Notre Dame football, and he's had Thursday Night Football. Do you think they would simply move a guy out that resonated, that made an impact, that made a difference, that was talked or written about? Of course they wouldn't. That's their goal in those positions, to put somebody there that does make an impact. So instead of saying he didn't get more of a platform or more visibility because he wasn't a big name, look at it like this. He wasn't a big name, and he got the chance twice. What more can you ask? I don't think it has anything to do. Sure, it might help initially, but at the end, if you can't do it, you can't do it.
Yeah, Fred's absolutely right. Look, you know, there's a big to-do about Tony Romo getting that job and, you know, possibly, you know, the squeezing out of Phil Sims in that role. But at the end of the day, Tony Romo had to perform. If Tony Romo didn't perform in that role, he wouldn't be doing it this coming year. So, yeah, the name may get you there, and the name does bring people to that network. So people tuned in to hear Tony Romo and Jim Nance call games. But at the end of the day, you have to be good at what you do, because if you're not, I don't care how big the name is, they're going to fire you.
And I'll say this. There were a lot of people nationally that wrote, didn't like Tony Romo. Thought he talked too much.
He was very polarizing all season.
I thought he was one of the best I've ever heard. I loved him. I thought it was great. He added energy and excitement to the game. He made it interesting. He wasn't as polished as some guys, but that's okay. He made it fun to listen to and fun to watch.
Yeah, he was good. He had some good energy to him. Sometimes some people thought he was a little bit over the top with his energy screaming.
I'd be one of
plays.
Them. I'm one of them. Thought he was over the top.
I don't agree
with Fred. Yeah. I mean, he was good, but I'll give him a chance. I did like some of the things, but yeah, I think he was a little bit over the top.
But for a guy who hadn't done it before, I'd say he did a pretty damn good job, all things considered.
Not easy situation to jump right into.
No.
Not at all, to the number one chair. Now, the Cleveland Browns, of course, have two picks in the top four of the NFL draft. Now, Adam Schefter of the Four Letter Network, one of the most well-respected insiders in the entire industry, I don't think there's much of an argument there. He brought up a scenario, and he wasn't joking when he said this. He said the Cleveland Browns, who are quarterback starved, could possibly take two quarterbacks in the top four. They can use the top pick of the draft and the fourth pick in the draft to take one of these top five talented quarterbacks that we have coming down the pipeline. We could have Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen both be drafted by the Cleveland Browns. Would that be a good call or a bad call, Rodney?
It would be a horrible call, you know. But the sad thing about it is that you wouldn't put it past the Browns to
know,
do it.
Right? It's the Browns.
It's the Browns. But yeah, no, you don't waste the pick. You get your guy, your quarterback that you like, you draft him, and then you go in a different direction. If Saquon Barkley's there at 4, you pick him. So yeah, it would be a horrible call if they went out and got 2 quarterbacks and those first 4 picks.
Brett,
bad call. I'm shaking my head. Why in the world, when you have so much you need to do, would you invest 2 picks for 1 position? The most important position. You have to be confident enough and believe in yourself enough to say, this is our guy. We're going with him. Win or lose, this is it. We're finally going to get this together and go with this one person. I understand the mindset. Look, you have 2 guys. One really plays better. So the other one you can trade next year. It's like getting a first-round pick next year for somebody. I don't buy that. They have so many holes to fill. And also, how would you like to be one of those 2 guys?
Yeah.
How would you like to be one of those 2 guys? What kind of confidence level would you have?
None.
0.
You're looking over your shoulder every time because both of them are, you know, top 5 picks. And as soon as you have a bad series, they're like, oh, let's go with the other guy. He was a first rounder too. So it'd be a horrible situation.
Yeah, Fred, you ask why, but we're dealing with the Cleveland Browns. I stopped asking why about them 20 years ago. So
that's fair.
Yeah. Now, moving on to the NBA. Joel Embiid. Has not played the first couple of games of the playoff series between the Miami Heat. Of course, the Sixers lost at home last night to Miami. Dwayne Wade went back in the Wayback Machine and played pretty damn well. And Embiid went on Twitter last night, or his Instagram account, excuse me, and said he's blanking sick and tired of being babied. Of course, they handled him with kid gloves the last couple of years as he's had a couple of, you know, pretty bad injuries his first year, couple of years in the league. And he also had an orbital bone fracture towards the end of the regular season and is wearing a protective mask. Still not known whether or not he'll be ready for game 3 at this point in time. Was it a good call or a bad call for Embiid to vent his frustrations on Twitter or, excuse me, Instagram, social media in general, Fred?
Well, I guess it's a good call because that's what you do now. Right? I mean, the best call is say nothing, just move on. But that's not how things work anymore. So I guess it was a good call because that's what everybody does.
Rodney?
Yeah, I think it's a good call. You know, there's a lot of folks out there saying, you know, why isn't he playing, questioning if he should be playing, is it him? You know, especially now we're dealing with Kawhi Leonard and all that controversy of is he really hurt and could he be playing? So the fact that, you know, there are people out there questioning, oh, he can wear a mask and go play. He's putting it on the staff and say, look, I want to play. They're babying me a little bit. I'm healthy enough to play. Let me play. I think it sends a message to the fans of Philadelphia saying, hey, I'm hungry to get out there and help my team. So it was a good call.
As a competitor, Rodney, most players are going to say I'm ready to play anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you have, like, one eyeball hanging out the socket or something, you know what I mean?
True.
So
true.
That's a good call, bad call, gentlemen.
All right. Good job, Kevin.
Hey.
A former USC coach is going to have his day in court with the NCAA. We'll talk about that next. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports.